Hi, guys. Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics, real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right. Let's get started.
All right. Well, guys, another week. How's everybody doing?
Good, man.
Doing good.
Tom. Good. Yeah. You guys look good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. As always.
Well, that's... That, did I say somebody asked us, hey, are y'all going to start recording on YouTube? It's like,
No.
It's hard enough to get viewers as it is.
Listeners, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to start backtracking.
Well, then I'd have to do makeup and all that. It's like, you
know, we have to get a real studio.
I'd have to look like my picture on LinkedIn because it's AI generated.
That's awesome.
Anyway, so Jeff, we picked up. Or we left off, I should say, your story last week. So surrendering your life to Christ when you were 15, really started to follow the Lord, and then maybe had some ups and downs.
Right.
Going into JUCO.
Yeah. So
tell us how you got to JUCO. That's a junior college for people that don't know the lingo.
Yeah. So, I switched from baseball to basketball, and basketball is my dad's sport, so he was like super pumped that I switched. My mom was not excited because my parents did not go to college, and they insisted that we go.
Sure.
And they said, we don't have the money to send you, so be smart, be good at sports, get a scholarship somehow, go. And so for my mom, she was like, you're really good at baseball. That was your ticket. But I just didn't love it, so I switched to basketball. And started playing and fell in love with it. And, you know, it became everything. Every moment I had, I was learning something new about basketball or playing in something.
Did they have the 3-point line then?
Yes, Tommy. Okay. They did. And so graduating high school and got an offer to play JUCO there at Bishop State Community College.
Bishop State.
Shout out.
What's the mascot?
What was it? Bishop State. It's like Wildcats or something.
I was really hoping you were going to say like Wallabies. Like just some random animal. That would have been awesome.
And everything was a cat.
Squirrels. The
Theodore Bobcats and Bishop State Wildcats, I think.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, so.
Memorable.
Played. Got a full scholarship, Tommy, to play at JUCO.
That's a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was huge. So loved it and played there. But through that process, you know, great experience with the guys on the team. And but Lord just really took the love of basketball away from me. Just kind of showed me where I'd become an idol and how I was missing out on things that really mattered. So towards the end of that, the Lord captured my heart again fully. By taking that away from me. And so I was going to transfer to the University of Mobile and pursue ministry. The Lord really just kind of showed, even through basketball, just the influence I could have with my teammates. And a lot of guys come from different walks of life and just really wrestle with a lot of things. And just being, you know, being a follower of Christ there, even on the basketball court was.
So I have a question. So you mentioned you had good camaraderie with your teammates. I know a lot of people in basketball get nicknames.
Yeah.
So, did you have a nickname?
I did have a nickname, Tommy. My nickname was Sunbeam.
Sunbeam.
Yeah.
So is that because you brought the light?
It is not. It's because all of my teammates were African Americans and I was the only white guy on the team. They were amazing to me. But yeah, they gave me the nickname Sunbeam.
Is that because it glowed? You glowed?
Yeah,
you're so white?
I was pretty white.
I mean, pasty.
But it was funny because all the administration, even at the games, would call out Sunbeam. It was pretty awesome.
I thought that was a funny story.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. So Sunbeam.
All right.
Yeah. And so finished up JUCO and transferred to the University of Mobile. And
did you get a scholarship there?
I did get a scholarship. I got an academic scholarship from the junior college.
Wow.
I know.
Are they tied in together?
What?
Are they like tying into like was a it final like the, school,
yeah.
JUCO to University of Mobile?
Well, it was kind of a nightmare because JUCO was like still on quarter system.
Oh.
And then I went to a semester, and then like
I don't think
like
he answered your question.
A third,
but no, but it probably wasn't.
But
no.
It didn't funnel in. Like
I'm just
that.
Nodding. Sometimes I'm just nodding.
I won the highest academic award at my junior college. Okay,
are you rubbing it in?
I am rubbing it in. Shout out to
Sunbeam.
Shout out to Sunbeam for this killing it. But no, so I went to this award ceremony, and this is just kind of how like I didn't know how to seek the Lord out on. You know, important decisions like that, which isn't funny because we're talking to my oldest son about college and how to choose it and all that stuff. And we had no clue what we were doing. But anyway, I went to this award ceremony and one of the guys there that was kind of giving the award asked me what was I good at, you know, as far as like academics. And I was like, well, math comes really easy. And he's like, man, pursue it. He said, I'll open up so many opportunities for you. I was like, okay. So I majored in math.
Wow.
Minored in religion.
There you go.
Yeah, those go together.
Justin's good at math too.
Yeah.
I'm good at math.
Yeah.
I have to help my kids with their math homework. But math homework is pretty difficult now. I mean.
Yeah. It's been a minute since I've been involved in math.
Well, so. My kids are older than yours, Justin. You're looking at me likewise.
No, I'm just thinking about like how they
please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Yeah,
it's pretty easy to count the number of carrots on the page.
That's awesome.
Shout out to my second grader.
It gets harder.
It gets harder.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. So
JUCO turns to University of Mobile.
So yeah, I got my academic scholarship to the University of Mobile, and because it was a Christian university going into ministry, I got some scholarships for that as well. So anyway. So it made it feasible. So I went there and I was actually helping our youth pastor's daughter move in. To her dorm.
So you're working part-time or whatever at a church?
No, not yet.
Okay, you're attending a church.
I'm attending this church.
Okay. And the youth pastor's daughter is now attending University of Mobile.
Yes.
And you've been there at this point, what year are you?
I'm going into my junior year.
Going into your junior year.
Mm-hmm. And so she's going in as a freshman.
Okay.
Well, turns out that, you know, she had feelings for me.
Ooh.
Like she wanted a relationship with me. Feelings were not mutual.
Okay.
I was unaware of these things. So when we got to the dorm and I was helping her move in, she went up to her dorm and Aaron, my now wife, was her suite mate.
Okay.
So they shared a bathroom, Tommy.
Okay.
And so
saw the look on my face.
I did.
It's like a roommate, but this is fancier.
Yes. And so this girl told Aaron, said, hey, I want you to come downstairs and meet the guy I'm going to marry. And Aaron's first thought was, you're not going to marry him. I'm going to marry him.
Well, how do you know she thought that?
She told me.
Okay. But did she tell that girl that?
No.
Oh.
No.
So wait a minute. So wait, hold on a second. I don't want this to go past, Justin. I don't want this moment to pass us by. Why are you just all of a sudden like the guy on the spot, like helping all these freshmen move in? Like are you camped out? Like, is there a special drop off for all the freshmen and you're down there?
I'm transferring to the school and I want to find out more information about the school.
Okay.
They're going, the daughter's moving in. I was like, I'll go help you.
Okay.
And that was it.
And it was just coincidence.
It was God.
There you go.
Yes, perfect timing.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, that was great. So Aaron
scared
said
me.
That. She had that thought. You're not going to marry him. I am. And so she was like, Aaron, why do you even think that? That's terrible.
She's saying that to herself.
Yeah, she didn't even see me or anything.
I was trying to follow.
Yeah, so.
Oh, wait, she didn't even see me?
No.
What?
That's weird,
that
right?
That is weird. I'm going to ask her about that.
Yeah, ask her about it.
Maybe she saw like a highlight reel from JUCO.
It was those ones that make noises. Like.
The tape rolling in the background, the millimeter film.
Oh, goodness, no. Anyway, so she comes down and I meet her, and I mean, wow.
Yeah.
She was the first girl that I had ever met, though, that had like short hair. Like, it was pretty, it was rebellious at that time, man. It was that short. Anyway,
Okay. Now
I just thought she was super, super attractive. And I thought
she probably didn't think that about you.
She did not. She was probably thinking,
probably like, why did I tell her that?
why did I have that thought ever? Uh-huh. But anyway, she ended up being like the go-between to find out if I was interested in the other girl.
So the girl who liked you
used
Aaron
mm-hmm.
as the messenger.
Correct.
So
through that, she finds out that...
This is like a movie.
What are you talking about?
Like a movie, like a home... Not a Hallmark, but a...
The opposite.
The movies that yeah.
No, she finds out that, you know, I didn't... The feelings were not mutual.
You had to tell Aaron, you're like, no.
Right. Yeah, there was just some weird...
What word you use back
Weird
then?
Things kind of happened or whatever. And so, anyway, but through the conversations, Aaron and I became friends.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we, you know, she was from Iowa. She didn't know anybody. So... So we just started hanging out and having fun. Well, then we became really good friends, which did not come to, you know, great terms with the other girl. She got frustrated pretty quick. Right. She was mad.
Jealous.
So anyway, all that to say, we started hanging out. We started dating and we would date and then break up and then date.
Well, everybody does
you
that.
You know, so we kind of did that thing for a while. And anyway, all this time, right, so I come to the University of Mobile, I meet Aaron, we start dating, and then a job opportunity at my church comes available for the youth pastor position.
Okay.
And so...
You feel like... So kind of tell me, backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
Where is your relationship with the Lord now?
So my relationship with the Lord is solid, and we're, you know... I'm fully focused on pursuing him, growing in my relationship with him. He's called me into ministry because of all the influences that, you know, I've been able to see that I could have in others, but also like how my brother's death impacted me.
Sure.
And how that my story could impact others. And so the Lord called me into youth ministry through that. So I stepped into it. And right when I did, a position, you know, what, 4 months later opened up at my home church. So this youth pastor and his daughter, right, that I'm helping move in, he's going to a different church.
Okay.
And so now it's available. And so I interview for the job and they give it to me. And I just turned 20 years old.
Just turned 20. So you're not old, much older than the...
Than the youth, right. No. But because I grew up in that church and sure. I kind of let out and all those kinds of things, they were willing, I guess, to take the risk on this young 20-year-old. And so, but man, talk about naive and not knowing anything. I mean, I remember writing out my first message, Tommy. Like, I wrote out everything, handwritten, like, hey, good evening. Like, I wrote it on paper to everybody, front and back, 5 pages. And I got up, and I don't think I made eye contact with anybody. And I just read the whole thing, and I was done in 5 minutes. And I was like,
nailed it.
I was like, let's go outside and play dodgeball. I don't know what else to do. So it was super awkward.
Good. That's fine.
But everybody was so gracious, man, so kind to me, and let me learn and grow. And so through that, learned a ton. And I felt the whole time like the Lord was leading me to do something else. And I wasn't really sure what that was. I didn't know how to go about figuring out what that was.
So your brother... Wayne.
Yeah.
He's 11 years older than you, right? So he's like 30.
You are good at math.
I told you. As long as it's my toes, hands and feet.
Yeah.
He's in ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. So out of college, my brother went with a group called Life Action Ministries based out of Michigan. And man, he just grew tremendous. He was with them for 2 years, traveled all over the U.S., putting on revivals and stuff. And it was so powerful what they did, but it was so kind of structured and what they did spiritually and how they grew and how they prepared and all the different things, experiences they had. And just watching the Lord move at all these different churches and seeing all these people come to faith. And he just grew immensely during that time. And then he took a children's pastor role at my church. He was a children's pastor before I became the youth pastor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now tell us about, so there's that, and then you're in youth ministry, and then you feel like, you know, you're trying to navigate kind of what's next.
Yeah.
Right. So kind of fast forward for us a little bit on, you know, what are next steps and what unfolds to kind of start in your
Sure. Your next so, thing? So in this, like this time, we have a new pastor at the church and things weren't really going in the same direction, I guess, same vision. My brother had left and gone to another church. And, you know, this whole time I felt like something else was for me and that the Lord was leading me to something else. But I also was trying to kind of run from a complicated situation. And so in that, I just applied for the Life Action Ministry.
Program. You knew that it was familiar.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. I mean, it was good. It was proven record. Sure. You know, my brother grew. So,
and you just graduated. Why not do that? Right? You graduated now.
Yeah, I was about to graduate college.
The thing too, like you know, when there's difficult stuff going on, like you kind of go with, you know, kind of your own logic. Like, hey, this feels familiar.
That's right.
You know, so you kind of like, you know, sometimes run instead of wait.
Sure.
You know, run that, to something sometimes instead of just waiting. So
guilty.
Yeah. And so I remember telling my mom, I was like, Mom, hey, I think I'm going to do Life Action Ministries. You know, she was like, oh, so Michigan is so far away. I was like, Wayne did it. Like, you were all excited for Wayne.
Dude, I love Sheila. She's just so full of wisdom.
But she was just like, she was just not excited.
She could
about
see
it.
Right through you.
She could. And so, anyway, so I just knew that I was pursuing this for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but I had already applied with Life Action Ministries. Mm-hmm. They called me and they said, hey, listen, we've reviewed your resume. We want to let you know that we accept you. But we'll give you a week to pray about it, talk about it with your family, and let us know what you want to do.
What role do you know? What role is this?
So they wanted me to come in and do media stuff, which I had zero knowledge on what to do.
We know. Putting this podcast together, we know.
So... maybe I should have done. No,
you're great at encouraging us. Right?
That weekend, I went in to start praying about it, because up to this point I had kind of done everything that I wanted to do, and just using, to your point, Justin, my own logic, and we just so happened to have a missions conference, our first one at our church, and. You know, so all this I'm wrestling with, and
sorry, during the weekend that you're supposed to be praying about going to
Life Action Ministry.
Just make sure that's clear.
Yeah. So this same week, all this is happening, and so I go into the service, and you know, I'm on staff, so I'm meeting these missionaries that are coming in from all over the world. There's a guy from Africa and a guy from Paraguay, and all this everything. Well, the guy from Paraguay, his name's Freddie Womble, and the Lord was just kind of impressed upon me to, you know, go talk to this guy about what's kind of going on in your life. You know, this is something. Interesting, you know, he knows about following the Lord. Maybe he can help you. I was like, I'm not going to go talk to him. I don't know him, you know. And so, sure enough, he comes up to me and is super personable and starts joking. I can't even remember what he said.
So now you feel comfortable.
Now I feel comfortable. We start chatting. So I tell him kind of what's going on. And so I was telling him about Life Action Ministries, and he just kind of stopped me. And he's like, Jeff, let me ask you two questions. And he said, first question, what has the Lord called you to do? And I was like, man, I feel like he's called me into youth ministry. And he said, all right, well, after going with Life Action Ministries, will you have been doing what God's called you to do? And I was like, no. You know, like I just needed somebody else to verbalize it.
A good question.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
It was great.
Yeah.
And to the point, he just said, listen, he said, and, you know, I've been in Paraguay for 15 years. He said, 65% of the population is under the age of 25. It's a huge need for youth ministry. Just pray about it. I had never, you know. I even hear people that, like, how do you even become a missionary? Like that wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know I could become one. I didn't know anything about the International Mission Board, any of those things, right? So he handed me this little pamphlet about the Journeyman Program. And so I started praying about that.
So you took that pamphlet about the Journeyman Program, which is part of IMB, and you started praying. What'd you pray?
Well, it was, at first, I'll tell you this, like, the thought would never leave my mind. Like, it just kept coming back. Like, what about that? What about that 65%? You know, what about that need for youth ministry in a place where they don't have it? You know, it just kept coming back. And I kept thinking about it. And so then I, like, would pull a pamphlet out and look at it. And then I saw that all the criteria, you know, an undergrad, while I was about to graduate, you know, all the timing was lining up perfect. Everything was there. And so I remember sitting my mom down and being like, oh, man, she didn't want me to go to Michigan. And I was like, Mom, I really feel like perhaps, you know, the Lord's leading me to do this and to go serve in Paraguay. And she said, whatever the Lord's called you to do, I'll support you 100%.
Wow.
Like, just completely different.
Yeah.
And she knew. I mean, she could tell, Tommy, to your point, I've been wrestling with it.
Right.
And thinking through it. And so... all those things were so cool as how they happened, but you know, same kind of thing. So I had called Life Action back and told them, hey, listen, thank you. I'm respectfully declining. Lord's not leading me in this. And so then I began praying about the Journeyman Program.
So let's talk about that. So yeah. You start praying. What's your prayer specific? So yeah, let me just let you answer that first.
Yeah. So the way it happened was, I mean, I remember having my, I submitted my application, right, for the journeyman program.
That's a good start.
Yeah, we got to do that. Yeah, so write it out. Right. Did you have to write it or type it in a computer?
Man, I had to type it on a typewriter.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I had to type it all out, submit it. Same thing. They call me and they're like, hey, look, we reviewed this. You fit all the stuff. We want to bring you out to Richmond, Virginia for the next step, you know, but we want to know that you're taking this, like you really want to do this. And so we need to know what you want to do. So I was like, oh my goodness, you know, like, how do you navigate this? You know, I don't know what to do. And so I was in the Bible. I was reading. I don't even remember what I was reading, but I closed my Bible and I was just like, God, I don't know how to do this. Will you speak to me today in a way that Jeff knows I'm just supposed to go to Richmond? That's all I want. Like, show me something about missions, like just something that simple. So I went to my computer and opened up my email. And granted, this has been about a month and a half, 2 months from that missions conference.
From talking to Freddie.
And I get an email from Freddie. Hadn't heard from him since. That day, that morning, he sends an email. He just said, hey, listen, you are on my mind. And I know you were dealing with some big decisions, and I just wanted you to know that I prayed for you today. And I was just like, man, that's really cool that happened. But God, this is 2 years. I need something else.
Wait. Time out. You've got mail, right? So you literally pray.
Yeah.
Lord, speak to me in a way that Jeff Gotney knows that I should go.
I was a total Gideon,
and not
man.
Good enough.
Not good enough. Not enough.
I'm going to need 2 emails. So,
okay, so you get the email, and you're like, all right, now that's coincidence.
That was cool, but is that enough? And so I close out
the email. Do you pray again?
No, I don't pray again. I just close out the email. As soon as I close it out, the doorbell rings.
So, but you're thinking in your mind, that's not enough.
Not enough.
Mm. And then it literally.
Doorbell
we're
rings.
Talking seconds.
Yes. Doorbell rings.
All right, so now who's at the
I'm
door?
At home by myself, who's and I'm door? Like, do I answer it? You know, so I go and I look and there's two little kids, you know, and I was like, oh, okay. So I open the door and they're like, excuse me, sir, we're from the Baptist church up the street and we're selling candles for missionaries in Haiti. We want to know if you want to buy one.
Oh my goodness.
Did you talk to Freddie, little kids?
I hate to report that I did not buy a candle, but I didn't have any money at the time, but the Lord.
I mean, really then, Jeff, what are you doing? I mean, you're like, okay.
I was like, man, my parents aren't home and I don't have any
I'm not
cash.
Talking about the candle.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about.
We don't care that you didn't buy a candle.
I thought you were challenging me. Man.
Hang with me here. I'm talking about.
Look, you have to live with not buying the kids candle.
I feel bad.
That's you.
We don't care about that. Yes. I'm like, you're like, you got to be like, seriously, Lord? Yeah.
I knew right then.
Okay. Yeah. That was my question. Yeah. You had to have known.
That was
okay,
crazy.
I got it.
Yeah.
That's a way, Jeff, that you're speaking to
and,
Jeff Gotney.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I asked him to speak to me in a way that I knew. I just need to take the next step, right? And so I call him back, and I was like, I'm going to do this. Mom was supportive and all the things. And so, man, I was scared. You know, I never lived on my own at this point, even through college.
Well, we haven't even got to Richmond yet.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, do you have to live in Richmond?
Well, even traveling, like I had flown once before this. So flying all the way out there, figuring all this stuff out by myself without my parents, you know, knowing where to go and all this. So I fly out there.
Richmond, Virginia.
And there's kind of like a job fair for missions, right? So at this conference, there's probably about 300 other journeymen from all over the United States that are trying to figure out this. Well, I get there and so unaware of the program and how all this works, but you're supposed to pick out two other jobs in case your first one doesn't work out. Well, I assume since Freddie Womble told me about Paraguay, that's where I was going.
When you say jobs, you mean places to serve?
Right, places to serve as a missionary for 2 years. And so.
So what was your first?
So first one was Paraguay.
Because you didn't know anybody.
Freddie.
That's the Freddie.
Because
right,
Freddie connection.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I just took all those things, and then I was like, oh.
Did you have a second, third?
So I had to go pick out another one. So at this job fair, I'm there. And now keep in mind, you've heard my story up to this point. Like, my family was close. Like, we were very close. But then after my brother, Brian, passed away, like, it was just like man, let's not take anything for granted. And so my family was super close. I never lived on my own, all those things, right? So my what I'm thinking about is like, I don't want to be all alone in another country. That was my biggest concern. So anyway, so here I am. I'm at this job fair and I go to the Africa booth to see what journeyman jobs are available in Africa. So I'm sitting there talking to this guy. All these things are really cool and interesting. And this lady that works for the International Mission Board comes up to me. She taps me on the shoulder. Never met her. She said, "Are you Jeff Gautney?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you going to Asuncion, Paraguay?" And I was like,
"Wait, say that again.
Say that again.
Asuncion, Paraguay.
Asuncion. Yeah, you said it so fast.
Like
you
as we say it here, Asuncion, Paraguay.
Okay. Oh, okay.
There's the mobile.
There it is. So she said, "Are you going to Paraguay?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, that's what I'm praying about. I'm trying to figure all that out." And she said, "Well, I just want you to know that I personally know five missionary families that are in Paraguay. The moment you step off the plane, you'll be part of their family. Christmas, birthdays, holidays."
Like, so,
I still don't know who she is. Like, I don't remember her name, anything. She just
that's
said,
"Well, an angel. That's
the, I just want you to know that." And then she walked away
And disappeared in thin air. I mean, did she disappear in thin air?
She did not disappear in thin air.
And that's the thing to kind of highlight, too, is like you're talking about the thing that you're thinking about internally. Like in your heart of hearts is like, man, you'd hate for that not to be there, like closeness, family, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's
it's
cool,
like a
man.
Prayer. It's like an internal prayer.
Because I think a lot of times people think things like this that you're talking about, you know, oh, well, that just is coincidence and coincidence and coincidence. Man. But, you know.
That was where I learned, like, just for the next
special.
Step. That I'm special. No, I just need the answer for the next step.
Yeah.
Right? The Lord never promises to show us a floodlight all the way down the path, just a little lamp, just that next step. And so I knew it was Paraguay at that point. And so came home, got all the information, got my passport, all the stuff, and I have to go back to Richmond for 5 weeks for a training.
But did they hire you yet? I'm just...
Yeah. I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going. And so while we're there,
he's had three sons. A lady came up to him, talked to him. He's going.
I'm making sure that they've hired you.
But just yes. So keep in mind, like my faith is it's baby faith, and I'm just starting to grow and really learning to depend on the Lord, learning how to pray and trust those answers, and just step out in faith.
At this point, I'd be driving down the street, telling, change the light green, change the light green.
That was Bruce Almighty, not Jeff's life.
Yeah. So anyway. During my training, during those 5 weeks, it's close to Christmas time. Well, what they do during that time, everybody that's training, they send them out to local churches to kind of promote Lottie Moon offering to give towards missions. Well, they sent all of the journeymen to these two like mega mission churches there in Richmond, except for me. I was the only one to go with this other couple to this church that's like an hour and a half away, this small little church. And now keep in mind, too, the internet, what is this, 2002? So internet, like I just wanted to see a picture of where I was going. And I had just found out that I was going to go to Uruguay for 3 months for language. I was going to be a guinea pig in a new program. They were sending me to Uruguay to learn Spanish. And then they were going to send me to Paraguay.
Is it because they knew you came from Mobile?
Probably.
Right. A new training program.
Watch this. No. So I'm looking in books at the library. I'm trying to find stuff online. I can't find anything.
It's the encyclopedia.
Dude, we used to have those.
So Tommy, I'm going to Montevideo, Uruguay.
Woo.
All right. And so I'm looking it up. I can't find anything. I just want to see where I'm going.
Sure.
Right. And so we go all the way out to this church. We share all the things. The pastor at the church says, "Hey, young man, tell me where you're going." And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to go to Asuncion, Paraguay, but I got to go to Montevideo first." He's like, "You're kidding me." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "I grew up as an MK in Montevideo, Uruguay." He said, "You want to see pictures?"
Shut up.
Had a whole photo album of pictures. Yeah. Showed me all the stuff. And I was like, "God, unbelievably cool."
But now you're realizing that this is.
Oh, yeah. So exciting. So then I get back. And you ready for this drop?
Oh.
So I find out. Yes, I'm going to Paraguay. Yes, Freddie Womble and his wife Karen are going to be my supervisors.
Right.
I find out that Karen's sister is Miss Bacon, my third grade teacher.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Where's the...
Yeah. Give us something. What is it? There it is again. Yeah.
You use that one.
Both divine and an eye-opener.
So Miss Bacon,
yeah,
the third grade teacher who was so profound in your life, the moment when after your brother was killed.
Yeah. Her sister.
Her sister and her sister's husband.
Freddie.
Are the Wumbles.
Yep. And my mom, she didn't know their names, but she was friends with Miss Bacon. And she had been praying for missionaries somewhere in South America, not knowing that 12 years later her son would go.
Praying for you and the family.
That I would go and basically live with them and work with them. It's crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And this is why, like, you know, when you've got 4 to 5 signs given to you from people.
That's what it took for me.
Kids with trying to sell candles.
All right.
This is why we joke about, like, Jeff has like a direct line.
That's why I said he's special.
Yeah, I will say this though. What you've taught me in all these years is when you start talking about, you know, the age old question, well, how do I know I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do? Right. And then everybody kind of inserts kind of their own thoughts and what that looks like. And then sometimes when it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, well, I don't know. And then, you know, people can throw up their hands. And something that I'm seeing in all the story is just a thread of like your mom never, you know, making light of a moment, right? Like using it as an opportunity. Your dad asking thoughtful questions, right? Freddie asking you 2 questions in the missions conference.
Right.
Like I see a pattern where it's kind of built you up to ask good questions when you're talking with folks. Because I know we've talked before where I'm like, man, how do I know that this thing, whatever it is, like that would be what the Lord has? And, you know, over the years you've said this to me and I've shared it with others and it's like, man, if you just pray for the yes or the no, and then you're just obedient with what the Lord is revealing to you in prayer and through reading scripture, then at that point, it takes off a lot of the pressure of wondering what is it, and then you just obey. And with this, I see, you know, that in you and that you were being obedient to each of those steps that were being laid out.
Right.
And it makes the path a lot easier to kind of walk instead of, you know, waiting for everything to hit at once and wanting all the answers.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I would love to say from that point on, it was just like, man, I trust the Lord in everything. This is going to be easy. But when I got to Uruguay, everything that I had seen, thought, believed was challenged. And so it led me to really figure out, you know, how do I search this out? How do I figure this out? And so, man, it was wild. It was a wild ride.
Well, you know, that's a lot of your story. And I know we're going to talk a lot about, you know, in other topics and things that we're covering, like pursuing the Lord and all that. But before we end the show tonight, I think I'd just say, like, where did you end up being a missionary in all of that? Like the Uruguay and training and all that. Where did you serve?
So I served as a journeyman, did the 3 months in Montevideo. And then I went to Asuncion for the rest of the 2 years. Came back, got married, went to seminary, got my master's in missiology, and then went with my wife and 2 boys at the time. And we went for a year in Costa Rica to language school, and then almost 5 years in Colombia down on the Amazon. So
down on the Amazon where it is hot as all get out.
It's kind of funny. We just sold a table that we brought back. And people thought we bought it off of Amazon. We were like, no. It's from the Amazon.
Justin and I will share some our stories in Colombia in future episodes.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah. And I will say, like, you know, thanks for sharing, man. I know that stuff, especially in the first part, it's not easy, you know. And, you know, if your mom and dad are listening, you know, that's not easy. But knowing, like, that there's a testimony and how they walk through it, a testimony in your life and, you know, I'll be honest with you. I know we're going to talk about a lot of topics, but I'm glad that we're kind of, you know, wrapping up each about us thing as we think about these other things, because each of our stories and the original guys group ties into all these things that we're talking about. And when we sit around here, I'm like, man, we could go into so much setting.
I wanted to fight. I know. I am fighting myself from wanting just to talk more about just really what the Lord wants from us, and we'll get into it. It took me 39 and a half years to realize, you know, the same. So
Well, man, the testimony's cool. We know it's the Lord's. You know, and again, thanks for sharing. And you know, I think, you know, next week we're gonna start talking about some of the different topics that we have going on and thinking about how we pursue the Lord and what that looks like, but we won't give it away. But hope you'll tune in with us next week. And we'll talk more about it.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. Y'all.